As the kids find their seats, we can open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 27, which is found on page 1937 in your pew Bibles. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us and watching over us each and every day. We pray now that you would open our hearts and your minds to your word, that we may understand it, and that we may impress it upon our hearts and learn from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to the mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone like jasper, clear as crystal. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its walls, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, and the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophras, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord gives light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it, Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. This morning we've come to, of course, study God's word, but also we're going to be celebrating our graduates this morning. And as a church, we're excited for each one of our graduates because you're stepping into something new, some new part of life. For each of you, this means that next year you won't experience maybe the familiar things that you've experienced every year prior. You may be starting a new job, you may be going to a different school, but it'll be new. And new can be exciting, but the new is also unknown. Today's scripture passage is a lot like that. We're all in this place. We have this newness, this excitement that we read about here in Revelation chapter 21 because we're excited about what God has planned, the future, the unknown. But at the same time, we're not sure. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. And as we read through our passage this morning, it gives us some clues. It opens our hearts and minds, but we don't know exactly what the next step looks like. Much like our graduates, you kind of know, you have an idea of the next phase in your life, but you don't know exactly. We don't know exactly. We have this idea, we have this sense of what God has planned. He shares with us in His Word what is going to be, but we don't know exactly what it is. But the good news is, God's in control of all of it. He knows exactly what our next step looks like. He's got it all planned out. And we can trust in Him. God promises us, in Scripture, a new life in a new land. And I want us to think about that this morning. That's great news for us today. And God gives us this snapshot that we see here in Revelation chapter 21 of what will be. So what I want you to do this morning with me is try to imagine what forever is going to be like. Think about that. If you need to close your eyes, you can. I give you permission this morning to close your eyes. But if you start snoring, guys, your wife will poke you. So just be aware. Think about what forever is going to be like. What will it sound like? What will it look like? Can you grasp the concept of forever? For me, it's really hard. I know I used to sit in church as a little boy, and I'd listen to the pastor talk about heaven and talk about what life will be, and I am no different today. I think about forever, and it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around forever. Because everything in our world, everything that we're accustomed to is temporary. Isn't it? There's always an end to everything. We can be as excited as we can be. We can be having as much fun as we can have. And at some point, it ends. At some point, it's time to move on. That won't be what eternity's like. It'll be like the best thing that will never end. It'll go on and on and on. And I have such a difficult time in my mind to just wrap my mind around what that really will be like. Because everything in my life has been temporary. Like Eric talked about this morning, the bride coming down the aisle, and I was the groom. I remember that day. And honestly, I was excited, but I was just thankful. I was thankful that Amanda was walking down the aisle because I wasn't sure. Shaking their head. But I honestly was thankful. I was thankful for that day to come. It was a day I looked forward to. But not every day is Amanda and my wedding day. It's kind of like that, isn't it, dear? But not every day is is our wedding day. Now, every day is the day that Amanda walked down the aisle, but just think, forever is that day filled with that kind of excitement, filled with that kind of joy. Every day, forever, we will be filled with that kind of joy. It's hard to grasp it all. But we're going to do our best this morning as we study Revelation 21 and look forward to what our forever home with Jesus is going to look like. I love looking at this chapter because it talks about what we will experience and what we will see for all eternity. Our chapter begins with these words, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away." Is that a shock to any of us? After all that we've studied in the book of Revelation up to this point, all the preceding chapters, I don't think this comes as a shock to any of us that the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Because if you think about it, after all the seals and the trumpets and then the bowls of God's wrath were poured out on the world, there wasn't much left. If you were doing all the math as we studied all these previous chapters, there's a toll, there's devastation that takes place. The ecosystem of the earth is going to be in bad shape by the end of all of these plagues, by the end of time. The earth will be unable to sustain human life like it was before. So absolutely, we can look at this statement that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth because the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And we can say, well, it's clear. All the evidence points to that. Like all of us, this first heaven and first earth that we live in, this earth that we live in today, is in the process of dying. Even secular scientists will tell you that. I mean, when I was a kid, I learned in science class that the sun only had so many billions of years left before it burns out. And guess what? If we don't have a sun anymore, there won't be life on planet Earth. And it doesn't shock us that things pass away because that's the world in which we live. People and things die. The good news is for us that there is this forever homecoming, this new heaven and new earth that will take the place of the old. And interestingly enough, we see in our passage here in chapter 21 that in this new heaven and new earth, there won't be any sea. Did you catch that? It's just right after we learn that the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. It says there will no longer be any sea. Does that strike any of you as odd? Now, I know for us here in Minnesota and Iowa, we don't get to the sea very often because, well, it's a ways away. But does that strike you as odd that in the new heaven and the new earth, there won't be any sea? And we think, well, that's okay. We can live without it. But think about how many people you know in your connected circle that have made trips to go see the ocean. Probably quite a few of us know people that have gone from around here and they've traveled either east or west or south to go see the ocean, to experience it, to put their feet in the sand on the beach. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there won't be any sea. Why is that? Well, we have to understand what the sea represents. The sea represents chaos. To the people in biblical times, the sea was a dangerous place. It was a place where people died. It was a place full of large creatures that, like sharks, that eat people. The sea was not a hospitable place. Even the Red Sea that the Israelites crossed, they crossed on dry ground, and then the people turned around and they saw Pharaoh and his army get covered by the sea, drowned and die. So the sea represents chaos and evil, and this is good news for us. When we read this, we realize that in the new heaven and the new earth, the things that we've experienced in our world today, the chaos, the evil, the brokenness, the hurt, won't exist in the new heaven and the new earth. Again, that is really hard for us to wrap our minds around, isn't it? What is that going to be like? A place where there is no hurt, there is no brokenness, there is no evil. It'll be great. It's absolutely something we can look forward to, but there won't be any more temptations. There won't be any more failures. The new heaven and the new earth will be a place that's free of evil. The passage continues and says, "Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." And our passage goes on to explain what this new Jerusalem, this holy city, looks like. This holy city is described as a bride who's beautifully dressed for her husband. And there's all these images of jewels and beauty, and it's got streets paved in gold, but pure and as clear as glass. Have any of you ever seen gold that is so pure it's see-through, transparent? I haven't. So what does all this mean? What does all of these images mean that we read about the holy city? And there's some things we have to look at. And it's beautiful, it shines, it's bright, because it shines with the glory of God. And we've read in other places in Revelation where God's glory is talked about and seen, and it's bright and it's beautiful, and the city will be the same. And we see also that this city has 12 gates and 12 foundations. There's three gates on the north, the south, and the east, and the west of the city. Now that tells us something. There's a purpose behind the gates being on all sides. And again, in our passage we read that they're never closed. The city's always open and people can come in and go at any time. But what we have to understand from this is that all peoples are welcomed. The holy city is not a place just for Jews. It's not a place just for Gentiles, but all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior from all parts of the earth, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all peoples will be welcomed into this new city with its 12 gates and its 12 foundations. Clearly, God is calling all people to himself, whether they're slave or free, male or female, Jew or Gentile. God wants us to know that everyone is welcomed in his holy city. We read that these 12 foundations have the apostles' names written on them, and the 12 gates are labeled with the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, pointing to the fact that all peoples are welcomed. The 12 tribes, meaning nobody's excluded. The 12 apostles, not a single person needs to be excluded from God's holy city. But there's more 12s ahead of us. You might notice it says in our passage that the walls of the city are 144 cubits thick. What is 12 times 12? Nora? 144, you're exactly right. Again, it's some kind of math thing that we encounter here, but we've seen it many times in Revelation where God uses 12 and 144 and shows us and teaches us something about what God wants us to understand. Again, that this place is massive. Instead, it also says that the city is a perfect cube, 12,000 stadia. Long, wide, and high. What does that all mean? Well, again, it's 12 by 12, right? 12 by 12 is 144. It's a massive place. Again, showing us that God's holy city, God's forever home for all of us, is a place that we are all welcome, and it's big enough for all of us. And if some of you like to read the footnotes, they've figured out what a stadia is, and it's somewhere around 12,000 stadia is 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles tall. That's a big place. The point is, it's all symbolic. All these numbers are symbolic and representative numbers. God is saying, don't worry. I have room for everyone in my holy city. All you need to do is commit to loving me and being my disciples and following me, and there will be a place for you in my holy city. The New Jerusalem, the home of all who are saved. The important thing for us today in our world is to recognize that nobody needs to be left out. There are people all around us that don't know this good news, that don't know that there's an opportunity for them to have a forever home. All they know is the brokenness and the hurt of this world. They have nothing to look forward to. I know I've had a lot of people recently, because we've had a lot of people thinking about the struggles that are present in our world, and people have said to me oftentimes, and all throughout my ministry career, they've said to me when they've lost a loved one, how do people live when somebody in their family dies and they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? It's a problem, folks. That's why we need to share the good news. That's why we need to help people see that there's a hope for them, that they have a forever home that is so vastly different than the world they know today. God wants us excited about where we're going so that we'll share our excitement with others, so that we can invite them along, so that they can experience the same joy that we have, that we're looking forward to. Our passage continues that in this city there is no temple and no sun and no moon, because this new city, this new Jerusalem, doesn't need any of those things, because God is the temple and God provides the light and Christ is the lamp, the Bible tells us. What that points to is the fact that with no temple, no moon, no sun, there's no sin. It's a very different place. Our forever home is a home where we're in God's presence always. A place where we can take walks with God, where we can be around God, where God will be around us and will never be hidden from His glory and His light. Nor will God ever again shut us out of His presence, because we'll have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And everything impure and unholy will be taken away. Everything shameful and deceitful will no longer exist. Try to imagine what this is like. The dwelling of God, we read, will be with people. And He will live with us. And nothing will be hidden. It'll be beautiful. There's three experiences here that we have to look forward to that I want to highlight that are in our passage this morning. The first of these is that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, because there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because we read the old order of things is passed away. Only what is good and right and holy and wonderful is going to remain. We're told that selfishness, anger, hatred, immorality, rage, murder, theft, none of those things will exist and be anymore in God's new kingdom. Misery, heartache will never be felt again by any human being. You getting excited about this? Because I am. I'm looking forward to what will be, because God recognizes what you and I have been living through. He knows exactly what's going on in our world. He knows our heartaches. He knows our brokenness. He knows our hurts. And He says, you were not created to live in a world and in a system like that. You were created for something so much more than what you're currently experiencing. And He gives us this promise that He will help us endure what we're living through until that day He comes and takes us to be with Him. Secondly, we're told the old order of things has passed away. Well, the old order, we learned about the old order. The old order is what the enormous red dragon comes and brings. The way our current world works and operates. The way of evil, the way of deception. And so I think when we hear that the old order of things has passed away, you and I can breathe a collective sigh of relief, can't we? I don't have to put up with that anymore. I think about that. Yesterday, I was out in the backyard and I was working with Amanda and we were digging up dandelions out of our raspberry patch. So you're in there dealing with thorns and dandelions, and I had junk all over my hands after I was done, that stains that the dandelion roots had put on my hands. And I was just thinking how thankful I am that I will someday not have to deal with weeds. Now, there's a lot of farmers in our congregation. Are you not looking forward to that day when you do not have to deal with weeds anymore in your fields and in your life? But think about that. That's a bigger implication. We won't have to deal with the weeds of living anymore in our lives. The things that cause us pain, the things that cause us heartache, the things that frustrate us. Never again will you and I have to vote in an election or sit through political ads. Can you imagine? Isn't that amazing? They're already starting on political ads for the next round of elections. Have any of you noticed this? They're already running. It's crazy. We will never experience those things, those brokenness, those heartaches, those hurts ever again in our lives, because the old order of things, the way they do things in our world today, is going to pass away. And so we can breathe this collective sigh of relief. Because the old order is what's keeping you and I from being who God created us to be. The old order of things is a roadblock to truth and to justice. The old order of things takes our minds and our hearts' focus off of God and puts them in places where they shouldn't be. See, the old order of things is what causes wars and rumors of wars. But in our forever home, we'll be valued, we'll be loved, and we'll be respected. Think about it this way. Imagine what it would be like for you and I to keep God's commands without even trying. Wouldn't that be awesome? Won't that be awesome? We'll be able to keep God's commands without trying, and we'll never fail. I know there's times in my life where I'm going to try really hard to keep God's commands. I'm going to do the right thing today, only to realize that I've failed as I've gotten started. But the day is coming in our forever home where we'll be able to keep God's commands, where we'll live in total and complete freedom, and we will keep and honor God's commands day after day after day after day for all eternity. And we won't even try, and we won't even think about it, because it'll be automatic. It'll just happen. It'll be amazing. Finally, the third one. God is making everything new. God is absolutely going to make everything new. The aches and the pains of this old world that we feel each day will no longer exist. Best of all, there will be no more cancer. There will be no more disease of any kind, because God will eradicate all of those things from our existence, because everything will be made new. Nothing will break down. Nothing will get old in the new heaven and the new earth. Someday I won't be old. Someday I will not wake up and feel aches and pains, because I'll be forever young. It's something that you and I have to look forward to, a perfect place where you'll never make a mistake with sight and touch and smell and sound. The best description that you and I have of the perfect world that we're going to inherit, we find in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where God talks about the earth that he created. If you want to have a clue on what heaven's going to be like, what our forever home, this new Jerusalem, this new earth is going to be like, read the book of Genesis, read the account of creation, and what was then will be once again. Everything will be made new, minus the temptation to sin. It'll be amazing. God is the beginning, and he tells us that he is going to be the end, and that he intends to give you and I the water of life. We have so much to look forward to. So let's share what we have to look forward to with others. Let's be excited about what the future has to hold for us. I don't know about you, but I'm excited what the future has to hold for each of our young people that are going to come up front in a moment, and they're going to receive their Bible, and they're going to receive a blanket from the church. That's our gift to them. But I'm excited for what their future holds. I'm excited for what their life will be. What God is going to do with each one of them. How God is going to cause them to interact and live for him in this broken world, looking forward to the perfect home that we have coming our way. I want us, all of us today, to think about our forever home for a while. That beauty, that excitement, that joy that we will feel. Try to wrap our minds around a place where there is no mourning or crying or pain, where there is no disappointment, where there is no sin, where there is no brokenness, where there is no anger and hatred, where there is no disease. It'll be awesome. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that for all of us, you have given us something that we can look forward to. A forever home that is for you, from you, that we will be with you in. Lord, we pray that we will share that excitement with others, and we will tell as many people as we can possibly tell about your love and the joy that we found in you. Lord, help us not to be people who are timid or live in fear, but just share our story. Share how you make a difference in our everyday lives and how you care for us each and every day and the plans that you have for us going forward. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to